I'm on page 1124 in my Bible. I love this group. You know, you guys are really good. I really appreciate that. What chapter? 12. At the end of the book, go to the last page. If you found it, look up intelligently. And if not, continue doing what you normally do. You know the feeling of you're out cruising along, listening to the to your radio or whatever you listen to, your iPod or whatever. Probably got that bud in your ear and you're not listening to what you should be listening to, like sirens or anything like that. But, you know, everything's going really, really well. You're kind of daydreaming. And then all of a sudden, your heart skips a beat. Ever had that happen to you? And you hit the brake. Because there's something about those red and blue lights behind you. You know, you're one of those kind of things. And you always ask the question, did I slow down in time? Or really, how fast was I going? You know, I pretty well always know how fast I'm going. But, you know, that's always one. What does that say? Isn't it the fear of the law? A fear of authority? I mean, you know that a ticket might be coming your way. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that happen. What's the result of that? Well, it's immediate behavior modification. That's a big term, isn't it? Behavior modification. And we get there. And it reminded me of that, of a oh, I guess you'll call it a joke. I'll call it a joke about the man and his wife going down the highway, and they get pulled over by DPS. And as DPS comes up to the car, he says, the driver rolls down the window. He said, "What's the problem, officer?" He said, "Well, sir, I noticed that you were not wearing your seat belt." He said, "Oh, no, sir. I have my seatbelt on the whole time. I just took it off to get to my wallet to find my license so that I would have everything for it." His wife's sitting over there. She goes, "Well, there's no reason to lie to the man." He said, "You be quiet over there. I'll talk to you." Police officer said, he looked at it, "Okay, sir. Well, I don't know if you realize this, but I think you need to realize it, that your brake light is out. The left brake light is out. When you put on the brake, nothing came on. We noticed that because when you hit the turn signal, nothing happened when you changed lanes." "Well, sir, you know, I would need to tell you, we are on our way right now. We have an appointment to get that fixed." "We don't have an appointment to get it fixed. We're on my way to my sister's house. I told you to shut up over there." DPS officer leans in, looks over to the wife sitting there, and he says, "Well, does he always talk this gruff to you?" "Oh, no, sir, he doesn't. Just when he's drinking." That's one of those preacher jokes you can get every once in a while, one you can repeat. I won't tell you the one I told my wife, and because she said that would not be appropriate for our congregation. It wasn't dirty. It wasn't bad. It was probably too truthful. Oh, save that for, and every guy in the world is going to want to know what I got to say. So you can write that one down in that blank space below my name. Okay, you'll get to that one. Listen, we respond when things like the DPS lights come on. We respond to the signals that we know are a warning, and they come from authority. And we're supposed to obey those things, right? I mean, that's what we're to do. Even though recently I've been listening to how many times somebody tried to outrun the police. How do you outrun the radio? How do you outrun these guys? I mean, that's crazy. And now I will admit, though, now they even stop. After a certain speed, they just shut it down. If you're in town, you know. But I've seen them run pretty fast after somebody. And I don't want to take them on in my red truck. Because at 95, it cuts out. I do not know why, but it's... Oh. Yeah, okay. I was on a drag strip and I was seeing how to do. Okay. But listen to me. Despite those situations, we have biblical mandates that are given to us out of the Word of God. And I know that many of those mandates say, do not be afraid, right? They say, no fear, you're not supposed to have any fear. But there's one that encourages us over and over and over again. There's one opinion that we should care a lot about and we should pay close attention to. There's one concern that weighs heavily, I know it weighs heavily on me, and it ought to weigh on every heart and every mind that's here. It's the one thing that God said through the prophet, given to us, and it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's right at the last two verses, and I want you to pay attention to these because these are important. Sometimes we miss this. Sometimes we lay it aside. We don't think it's important, but it is. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. One day we're going to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We are definitely going to hear it. God's going to be speaking to you and to me personally. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What is he saying? Simple. It's a simple thing. You don't have to. It's almost as simple as Jesus wept. You want to quote a scripture? Just say, fear God. Why? Because it's intrinsic to life. We are to fear God. And what kind of fear is that? That's reverence. That's to honor God so much. We should be in a constant awareness of God's presence. That he's with us. He's in here all the time. Because he's a just and he's a holy God. He's not a God over there waiting to strike you with a bolt of lightning. He's not over there to cause problems like that. But he listens to every word that you speak. Every thought that I have. All the things that take place in my life. Every action. And I think if we really paid attention to him and we did what he asked us to do, all the things of our lives, we probably would guard some of the things that come out of our mouth. I think the things that you shared right there this morning out of Romans, I think the song that we just sang is perfect for this very message right here. God is evaluating the very things that we do. Why? Because he loves us. He wants his children to obey. You realize that God's radar, well, it's always on too. It really is. It's not like that spottiness going down I-35. It's on all the time. And it's impossible. Now get this. It's impossible to speed past his holy law without consequences. There's always going to be a consequence to it. Years ago in Psychology Today, they had a random study of 1,000 different respondents to the study. And they asked the question, what do you most fear? And of course, you know, they laid out all kinds of answers. But the first thing, the number one place got was death. And that was the first thing to fear. And I wrote down those things that they said. They feared death. They feared serious illness. They feared financial worries. That was one of them. They feared nuclear war. Crime victims. Spiders. I would have said longhorns till last night. You knew I wasn't going to let that go. Come on now. You knew, Ethan, I would not let that go for very long. I'm sorry. For once, Baylor beat the longhorns. It was a shock to everybody. But okay. A loss of a job. That's something that they fear. Natural disasters. They fear the dark. They fear loneliness. They fear not being loved. Now, some of your fears are probably in that list somewhere, right? I mean, some of the things you might be afraid of, I mean, that's pretty normal. But the thing that wasn't normal to me, that not once did it ever mention the fear of God. It wasn't in it. That never was even brought up. No mention to it. But if you listen to Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, Jesus makes this statement. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Apostle Paul re-echoes that very sentiment in the third chapter, in the 18th verse of Romans. There is no fear of God before the eyes. He's saying this is what's taking place. And I guarantee you this morning, all across America, in the churches that we call Protestant churches, Catholic churches, every denomination, it doesn't make any difference what it is. All across America today, churches are preaching, but the fear of God is in short supply. Oh, they're going to talk about, how good God is, and he is. He's wonderful. He's all those things. They're going to talk about God's peace. They're going to talk about God's mercy. They're going to talk about his compassion. They're even going to talk about God's righteousness. All of those things we talk about. We talk about. We sing about them. Think about the songs that we sing. I mean, I when we were sitting there, or when I was listening to all of our praise music, I was reminded of a time way back, when Butch Reel and I went up to Hill College, and we enjoyed a youth rally, and we got to stand on the back of a flatbed trailer, and we were singing praise to God. This was the first great introduction I had to praise music, and it was wonderful. I mean, way back in the 70s. Yes, they had music in that day. No, horse and buggies had already gone by the wayside. Okay. But we were singing and we were praising God in that. But with all the music that we sing and all the things that we recognize God's grace. We savor his majesty. But do we fear him? Do we fear God in the most reverential way? Do we fear him? The word commands that. It's not if you get time, might do this. No, it's not about that. It is what God has called us to do. If you've ever experienced his presence, if you've ever known real revival, I mean genuine revival. I've been in a few general, Cornerstone used to have them, Parkview I know had them many, many times way back in the day when I was there. But to have a fresh sense of God's presence is everything. It makes all the difference. It's healthy. It is what we should have. That's the reverent fear that comes our way when we truly have been changed. So what's involved in that? Why do we miss it at times? Why do we go along and everything's okay, it's good, you know? But it's not what God wants. It's not great. Yesterday during the game, it was so, everything got really quiet, Ethan. 17-4, Baylor's getting killed. But then all of a sudden, the crowd gets into it and begins to, and they get wild. Why? Because their team is coming back. He's coming back. God is here on this throne all the time. We should be excited about that. That should be the thing that we get more excited than a ball game any day. The presence of a holy God. And that's the first point about it. God is present. He's present now. In Jeremiah, in the 23rd chapter, the 24th verse, can a man hide himself in the secret places so that I cannot see him? Do I not fill heaven and earth? That's God's statement to us. He fills heaven and earth. Do you not think he can see everything? Some of us that are a little more older, mature. Some of you children won't understand this, but this is an historical sketch, so I'm going to share it with you, Tyler. Television. Remember at 11 o'clock at night it said, do you know where your children are? Any of y'all ever had that? Yeah. You remember where your children are? Man, at 11 o'clock it's just getting started nowadays. I mean, they hadn't even gone to the party yet. It doesn't begin until after midnight. But my mom and dad, oh, they still want to check out? They're asking where their dad and mom are probably. But I remember on very few occasions my mom and dad would be out and they would tell us straight up, The TV goes off at 10. Now, my older sister, you know, she made sure Lynn was the domineering version of everything we had. I was the youngest, the wisest, the most handsome. Oh, okay. Anyway, but the one thing about TVs in that day, when you turned them off, do you remember this? It'd go down and there'd be a dot right in the middle. Well, we wouldn't pay attention to that. It's got to go off at 10 o'clock. But you'd hear the garage door opening. Hit the button, go to run to your bedroom because the lights were already off. Jump into bed, clothes and all. Didn't make any difference. Pull the covers up. But the dot. I tried to take an ice cube one time. They said it's because the tube was hot and you're trying to cool it down. Ice cubes didn't work on the TV. Invariably, my dad would come in and turn on the light. I'm sleeping. Yeah, right. And I'd be in trouble again because he knew that I'd be the one that would be watching the TV after he told me not to watch the TV that late. It was always the dot. Do you have one of those in your life right now? One of those dots that God is continuing to say something and he's brought it up and you're acting like everything's fine, but the dot is still bright because we have not paid attention to what he said. The fear of God works that way. It's something that we have all the time. You know, God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. He's one of those that you cannot get around. Do you think twice about it? Does it ever stop you when you think about some of the decisions you make that you think that dot may be still showing? Do you ever think that God is sitting there speaking to it when we want to say something? You know, one of those words that you shouldn't be saying, shouldn't be thinking. But unfortunately, at times, it might happen. When we have secrets that nobody knows, do you realize God is omnipresent? He's always here. He sees everything. But not only is he only omnipresent, God is holy and he's just. Both of those things go hand in hand. You know, it's that these are his attributes. He is holy, he is just. And the word says, and this is Moses got this way back in Exodus, and he writes to us, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" And then he'll go on into Deuteronomy and he'll write, "His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness. Without iniquity, just and upright is he." God's not just better than us. God is perfect, okay? You may be good. I don't doubt that. You may have great attributes. I don't doubt that. But you're not majestic. I don't care what your boyfriend tells you. I hope he says nice things about you, but God's holy. God is all of these things. And that is his very foundation that we built everything we have on is God's justice. He doesn't turn a blind eye to what he said. He doesn't forget what he talked about. Yes, he's omnipresent, but he's also omniscient. What is omniscient? That means perfect knowledge. And God has perfect knowledge of everything that's ever been recorded, everything that's ever been said, from before we were ever thought about, before the world began. God knows every bit of this. And he's constantly watching us for what? That we would stand one day in his presence as a judge. Yeah, there's going to come that place. But we need to think about every moment before that time. It's not about the ultimate, the white throne. It's not about all of those things. It's about the fact that God is looking right now. God is watching right now. God is present right now. God is holy right now. God is just right now. He's everything that he should be to us. And he's doing this other thing. He's evaluating you, and certainly me. And I don't measure up the way I should at times. I'll just be honest with you, I don't. We haven't been too far removed from the shopping season. Maybe some of y'all are still getting in, you know, since you didn't pick up your Christmas cards. Maybe you still think they're having Christmas sales. They have President's sales, a one-day deal for President's Day, and it went on for a week and a half. Yeah, but what's a sale? You know, we're going to get in on that shop. But did you notice how many cameras? Maybe you don't notice. Maybe you should notice that in the ceiling of every place you go now, there's cameras. I don't mean there's a big camera sticking down. Hey, I was on the Jumbotron yesterday. And just because Jamie and I happened to get put in the seat, or I sat in the seat, I thought were part of season tickets that you so generously gave me. And I was in the wrong place. And we were seated right on the midline, baby. We were right there watching the whole thing. But the guy comes in, he said, you're sitting in some of our seats. I said, oh, man, I am sorry. I said, I have season tickets, but I guess I'm in the wrong section. He goes, well, there's only two of us today, so no big deal. But I didn't realize that he was also part of a group of people that put on everything, the whole show at Baylor. And so the next thing I know, here comes this woman up there, a young lady, and she's passing out cookies to our row only. And there were special cookies. Who made those cookies? Oh. Don't eat them yet. Well, you gave it to me. No. The reason being, because now, next thing I know, here comes the camera. I'm standing beside the two guys that own those two seats that I'm seated in, and he happens to be best friends with the one that's down on the floor all the time with the microphone, but now they're up there taking pictures of us and that thing. Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. Cookies were fabulous. Hey, they really were. But that's not the camera I'm talking about. The camera I'm talking about, those little bubbles that you see, and if you ever do look up, I know some of y'all are like, look up, your redemption draw nigh. But there's cameras. What are they doing? They're looking for the thieves. They're looking for the people that are not doing what they ask. They're looking for people that are, swiping stuff. And they're recording all of that. Do you realize that God's got a camera? My eye, that eye of God, is searching throughout the universe to see what? To see the joy that he has given to us. To see the blessings that he has poured out upon us. To see everything. So what does he see when he looks at us? What does he see in our lives? You know that he sees not only the things that we say, but our actions. But even gets more, he sees my motivation. He recognizes what motivated me to do that, or to say that, or do that. In Proverbs chapter 5, he makes the statement there in the 21st verse. For the wages of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all of his paths. Jeremiah would add to that in the 16th chapter. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from mine eyes. God's looking, he's seeing everything. And the one that really should be, if you're going to be afraid of something, this should be the most fearsome one of everything that is written. Out of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul would write in the 4th chapter, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We need a notice, and that notice has been given. Judgment is coming our way, and it's not just out there in the future where you're not going to be concerned about it. It's now. God is bringing that now. This is the evaluation that he has. It's an ongoing thing. If my people who are called by my name, what is he asking for now? Humble yourself. Pray. God's going to do this. Why? Because God is omnipotent, meaning he's all powerful. This is who God is. He is the creator. He is the God that brought everything together. And today, right now, God is sitting there looking at everything that we do. And I mean everything. He's weighing us. Aren't we glad that we have the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin? What balances the scale? No, what tips it in our favor is Christ's love and the blood that he shed for each one of us. Because that is the perfect knowledge. That is his perfect justice. And it was given to us. It was free. Because what God has done through Jesus Christ. That's why I say before you take your next breath, we need to consider how close God is. And we need to fear him. We need to fear him in love because that's what he does for us. And can I say this? And I say this very, it's scary to think about. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you ought to be really afraid. You really, truly, forget about the reverent fear. It should be holy terror. Because what's coming our way? The violators of God's laws will come upon this world. Have we not read enough of that in all through the Bible? What he said he was going to do? If you're having a problem with that, come on over to my Sunday school class this morning and John's going to talk about Amos. We're going to talk about what Amos, the judgment of God that came through Amos. Hebrews chapter 10. Judgment and raging fire will consume the enemies of God. Now, I don't think there's a person here who thinks that they're an enemy of God. We're not enemies of God. But are we those kind of children, servants, saints? Are we those kind that honor God? We've been given the good news. We've got the gospel. Righteousness has been provided for me. His love has overshadowed me. We sing of his amazing grace, and it is absolutely amazing. But are we fully trusting in that grace? Is our heart where it needs to be? Because if it's not, then we will be in God's wrath and not in his abundant mercy. We are saved from those things. Every believer that accepted Jesus Christ truly, that has knowledge of where I've been, but where I am now, is totally different. We've been saved from everything that's going to take place. And that should drive every one of us to cling to the cross of Christ, to cling to the one who gave everything for us. Because there will be a day, and God will be swift in his judgment, but it'll be perfect justice. It won't be, well, I think this happened, you might have done that. No, it's going to be, these are the things that you did. They're clear. There'll be no debate about it. And that's why we should be on our knees in gratitude and thankfulness, because we've got undeserved grace. It's been given to each one of us. Paul would write to Timothy in the first chapter, the 9th verse of 2 Timothy, we have been saved from sin in order to live a holy life. Do you realize how vast God's love is? How incredible it is? His grace is unmeasured. It is so deep, it is so expansive that it covers every part of our life. But in that, he also expects us to live that holy life. That's his expectation for us. And one day, well, that question will be asked. That question will be laid before us. He entrusted us with that glory, and he's expecting us to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in the body. And it goes on to say, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And Jesus would write to us out of the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. You know that whole 25th chapter, all the parables that he talks about, the 10 virgins, the talents that were given, and one of them buried. You remember that? Where that one used them and they did, but the other one, he buried it and said he was unfit and all these kind of things. This talks about, at the end of that chapter, the judgment of the nations. And America's in that judgment. Whether we want to think about it or not. But in the 46th verse, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. See what God's given us? See how he's blessed us? Do we fear God? I guess those are the questions. Do you fear God? Have you bowed to Christ? Have you given him the homage that he really deserves? Because he has delivered us from God's wrath. I mean, he's the only reason. Have you trusted him fully for his forgiveness? My friends, you could be in church all your life and never make a commitment to God. You could just say, well, I was there and I did all those things. Did you ever truly call upon him to save you? I was really intending to preach this morning on that very thing, upon salvation, justification. But God said, no, this is what you're going to preach on. Why? Because without knowing what you're going to do to honor him, and the only honor we can really truly give, your mouth can flap all day long, but until you honor him with your life, you're not honoring him. So I ask you today, do you fear God? All I can tell you is what the Word says. Fear him. Let's pray.